I don't know what you're going through, but if you'll just hold on, where you're at's not where you're going to stay. I don't know what you're going through. You hear those words? I don't know what you're going through. Don't pitch your tent there. Where you're at does not determine your destiny. The God that you serve is all power. And he's faithful. And he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way to the very end. I'm not going to quit you in midstream. I'm not going to get off the horse when he's bucking. I'll be right there with you. Whatever it is you're going through. And there's some people going through some stuff in this room tonight. Amen. I want you to know I'm going through some stuff. But I'm going through. I am going through. And I'm going over. And I will have a testimony in the end. I will have a voice of triumph. I will have a testimony because of the test. Did you ever thought about that? Where there's no test, there's no testimony. You've got to have tests for you to know how big your God is. Because it's the trying of your faith. It's the testing of your faith that's doing a work in you. If you'll hang on, if you don't quit, if you go through, if you stay faithful to him, if you stand on his word, if you do what he's told you to do, you will not be a victim. You will be the victor. Because Romans says this, all things work together for good. All things ain't good, but all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You might quote that verse this way. Nothing happens to me. It all happens for me. Because you see, as we're tried, as we're tested, as we're tempted, as the fire's turned up, that stuff that don't belong there, it's burned off. And we come through the fire pure. We come through that fire skier. He's going to show up just on time, brother. Praise God. Praise God. I can't go nowhere yet. Whatever it is you're going through, this is not an emotional moment. I am not preying upon your emotions. I want you to know that the great I am is in this house. He is in the middle of your circumstance. He is in the fire with you just like he was those Hebrew children. You'll come out. You won't have the smell of smoke on you. You won't be burned, but you'll be able to stand and say, my God, once again, showed up and showed out. Man, don't you love it when God shows out on your behalf? You know, one thing I've discovered a lot of things. That's not a good word, one thing, but one of the things that I have discovered is that God is real good at being God, if I'll just let him. You know, there's a scripture says this, and this is for somebody in this room that's going through something tonight. It says, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. But you've got to let him. You've got to let him arise on your behalf and in the middle of your circumstance. You can't look or focus on the problem and it becomes so big that your God becomes small. You see, the problem oftentimes is not a lack of faith. It's a lack of focus. Sometimes we focus on the issue so much. Now, I'm not saying stick your head in the sand and pretend it's not there, because the truth is, the fact is, you got a problem. But your focus has got to be on the Lord. For he said for us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and to lean not into our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct our paths. If we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. Did you get that? The beginner and the finisher. The author and the finisher of our faith. He will finish what he starts. He will perfect in you and on your behalf, his glory, his might, his power. Let me just pray for you. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, You know the specifics and details of what's going on in every person's life that's gathered in this building tonight. Many are in the fire. And Lord, we just ask you right now to come and to shield and to protect and to strengthen and to fortify and to provide and to give wisdom and to make a way, fulfill your word to where you'll make a way out. Help them to see it. Help them to recognize it. Help them to jump at the opportunity of the leading of your voice, and where the door opens, you'll go. And they'll come out with that testimony of praise on their lip. When you're up against a struggle, as Skeeter sang, praise the Lord. We ask you to do this for your glory and your children's enjoyment. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Where do you go from here? I was very thrilled. Tuesday night, we had 80 folks here for a Bible study. And there were several of you that told me I just plain forgot or I would have been there. I'm here to tell you, I've been serving the Lord 37 years. I've never heard a man that can teach the word of God like Scott Kemp. If there's any way that you can get here for the 6:30 on Tuesday night, you need to be here. If you're tired of being defeated, if you're tired of being overrun, if you're tired of being the victim, it's because you don't have any enough spiritual bullets in your spiritual gun, and you need to come and get that word crammed in you in a way that you can understand it and apply it to your life. We're studying the life of Christ. What better way to start out a study than the one that we're trying to be like? Learning about him. And just his introductory this past Tuesday was one of those wow moments. I want to encourage you and challenge you and admonish you. You need to be here Tuesday. It's just that simple. If you have your Bible, would you turn to Mark chapter 2? Skeeter, you been drinking my water?
No,
Lord, drop this in my heart. About 6:00 this afternoon. I don't care what the devil's telling you right now. He's a liar. He is a liar. The word of God says that he's the father of lies, and in him is no truth. And some of you tonight, I know in my spirit, you're allowing your mind to be tormented by the devil even this moment. You don't have to put up with that. Word of God says, this is for you now. Quit trying to take easy street. Quit expecting God to do everything and you do nothing. The Bible tells you and me to bring into captivity every thought and see if it be of the Lord. And if it's not an admonishing, encouraging, uplifting, strengthening, fortifying voice, you better be careful what you listen to. If it's condescending, condemning, putting you down, belittling you, that is not God, period. And he is having a heyday with some of your minds tonight. And you and only you can control your mind. You can't control necessarily the thoughts that come, but you can control the thoughts that stay. You got to guard your mind. Bible says bring it captive, and if you don't, it'll get in your heart. It gets in your heart, that's what you become. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You better get control of your mind. I know that as sure as I'm standing here tonight. Some of you are in a warfare in your mind, and I'm not going to move on for just a minute. I must follow the Spirit of the Lord. You have got to take a stand. You've got to put your foot down. You've got to spiritually and physically say, enough is enough. And then you got to stand up and you got to fight the fight of faith. You got to cry unto God. You got to allow God to show you, talk to you. That's why you got to know His word so you know how to fight. Look, this is not a waltz we're on. We're in spiritual warfare. Now, I'm not a hellfire and brimstone preacher. I'm not trying to scare you into anything. I'm simply telling you the facts. The devil wants you to be prey to him. Don't let it happen. Get in this thing to win it. Get in it to overcome. Let's change the scriptures. Let's go. Oh, me. Oh. I believe it's 2 Peter. That's where it's at. 2 Peter. My Bible's falling apart, but I'm not getting another one. I need some water. Chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, this letter is to you. Some of you are in the fire. We hadn't left that. Some of you going through some stuff. If you're not, you will be before too long. Righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Turmoil, all hell breaking loose. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. That's information. That's the word of God. You're tired of all hell in your life. You're tired of chaos. You're tired of torment. You need some peace in your life. You need knowledge of the word of God. You need to know what God says. He said, I am the Prince of Peace, and I've come to give you peace on earth. Not as the world gives, but my peace I give unto you. Verse 3, according as his divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Virtue, that's cowboy for virtue. Virtue. Now pay attention. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. The kind of nature that lays down and goes to sleep on the bow of the ship in the middle of a storm. The kind of nature that walks down through the middle of a crowd that's wanting to stone him and throw him over a cliff. That's the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence. Now I want you to take out, if you would, your imaginary pen and your imaginary notebook. And as we read this list, I want you to grade your own papers. We're going to take a test right here. And I want you to be honest. Don't try to grade sheet off of Jerry Pilots and Mr. Honeycutts. You read your own paper. You grade your own paper. Let's see where we're at in this, not only knowledge of God, but our growth of God and how we measure up to what he's saying. These exceeding great and precious promises that are available to us. And it ain't gonna take me all night to do it. 2 hours and I'll be done. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nation. Okay. Besides this, verse 5, give all diligence to add to your faith, that means to your salvation, virtue. Virtue means moral excellence, morality. I'm just going to tell it like it is. When you come to know Christ as your Savior, he expects you to stop sleeping around. He expects you to get rid of the pornography. He expects you to get rid of every weight that are not necessarily sins, but also the sins that beset you and hold you back and keep you from becoming the man or woman that God wants you to be. And you have the choice and the power and the ability to do that. That's why he told you to add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, here's that word we've already read three times in this short little passage. And to virtue, knowledge. That's information. What kind of knowledge? What kind of information? Knowledge about the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowledge of his word. And to knowledge, temperance. You know, when steel is tempered, it means it's put in the fire. Through the fire. It's put in the fire, it's heated up, it's cooled off. It's heated up, it's cooled off. Making it what they call tempered steel. Strong. He's wanting us to be strong in the Lord, not tossed around with every wind and doctrine, and every time a little storm blows up in our life that we let that dictate to us how we're going to respond or act. You've heard me say this before. Are you a thermostat Christian or are you a thermometer Christian? See, a thermometer Christian rises and falls to the level of what's going on around them. But a thermostat Christian sets the temperature for where he's at. Temperance. And to temperance, oh God, help us. Add patience. Whew. Why do you think you need to have patience added to your life? Because you're going to go through some stuff. Because you're going to need patience. That's why he said that the fruits of the Spirit is to be slow to anger. Let me move on. Patience. And to patience, verse 6, godliness. Being like him in the way we think, the way we talk, the actions we take, the way we respond to situations. Not only the way we respond, but the actions that we take in life and the decisions that we make. Too often times, Christians go through life purely as reactionists. We just react to stuff. When we need to hear a word from God, we need to set our jaw and we need to go for the mark. We need to run and press for the prize and for the high calling and remember why we're running and remember what this is all about and be willing to get into the endurance race, the cross country. This is not a sprint. This is going to be a journey. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. When we get to a place that we can treat one another the way that we would want to be treated. This goes against the grain in the society in which we live. This is a, if it feels good, do it society. If you like it, to heck with everybody else, just do it. This is a society that has a mentality that everybody's supposed to bow down and respect what I want. We've become spoiled. We don't understand, the scriptures talks about preferring one another. We don't understand things like that, and the ones that we do understand, we don't do them. And it's time we get back to being doers of the word, not hearers only. We know if we never learn another scripture, most of us, if we never learn another one, we've got enough information that if we'll just do what we know to do, that's all I need to say about that. Then he says to brotherly kindness, to add charity or love. I got to wondering, why did he list that one last, as important as love is? He talks about love and it says, you know, God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You would have thought he would have listed love first. I can tell you why. I don't know everything, but I know this. It's hard to love some people. And until you get that other stuff down, you ain't going to be able to love them. There's eight things listed here. Six of them deal with yourself. Two of them with others. I see some of you counting them right now. I ain't going to lie to you. I counted them. But let me finish reading this and then we're going to close. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What it's saying is the only way these attributes, these things that we're grading our paper on, can be fruits in our life, can be evidence in our life, the only way that can happen is by us acquiring the knowledge, the information, the Word of God. Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. There's that. What are the two biggest words in the English language? But and if. And he says, if you do these things, you will never fall. Now let me just ask this question, and I'm not trying to be funny. How many of you made an A on that test? How many of you made a B? And I don't expect any hands. How many of you made a C, C minus, D? How many of you made an F? How many of you made an F minus? Would you bow your heads? You're going through that fire. Stand up. Stand to your feet. Real quickly. Yes. Yes. Honey, you're not alone. I want to pray for you, but I don't want you to just stand there and listen to me pray. I want you to talk to God. I want you to tell Him specifically what it is that you need or what's going on in your life and get information from Him, direction from Him as to how He wants you to respond. Christians, are you praying? Lord, I just thank You for the honesty of these that stand to their feet tonight. I know that at one point in time that every person in this building could stand and having been in the middle of something. Lord, Your word says that if we'd call unto You, You'd show us great and mighty things. And Lord, I ask You to show these people Your might and Your power and Your strength. Whether they're saved or not, Lord, I ask You to reveal Yourself unto them. Bring them forth and to bring them out, to deliver them and to set them free. We bind the strong man. We take authority and dominion over the devil and all of his imps and all of his helpers and every evil spirit that would be on an assignment to torment them. God, we recognize the seriousness of the hour in which we live. And I ask You, Lord, to glorify Yourself, to take what the devil has meant for harm and for evil, and that, Lord, that You would turn it around and use it for Your glory and their pleasure and their enjoyment and their testimony. God, we ask You to move in a way that no man can take credit or glory, but God, that they all of that would go to You. We'll be sure to say thank You in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated, every head still bowed. You may have possibly been one of the ones that was just standing. Maybe you're somebody else, but you say, Dennis, I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior. And tonight I'd like to be given an opportunity to just ask Him to forgive me and to come into my life and to save me. If that's you, would you just shoot your hand up, anyone, anywhere, real quickly? Yes, anyone else, very quickly. Slip it up, slip it right back down. Anyone else? Maybe you're a prodigal son. You're out there living a lifestyle you know you shouldn't be living, and you once walked with God, but you're ready to come back to your Heavenly Father tonight. If that's you, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Anyone? Anywhere? Yes. Anyone else? Very quickly, in the balcony. Anyone? Anyone else? Thank you, sir. This is what the Word of God says very clearly. We've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We can't be good enough on our own. We can't give enough. We can't do enough good works. We're saved one way. And that's through the shed blood of God's Son, a man called Jesus. That if we believe that in our heart, that He raised from the dead and that He walked out of a grave and that He's alive today. If we believe that in our heart and confess with our mouth, the Lord said that our sins are forgiven. We become His son or daughter, an heir of His kingdom. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer. We had four people raise their hand tonight. And I'm going to ask that everyone in this place would pray with me. And if you mean this in your heart, God knows that. And your sins are about to be cleansed and you're going to be a new creature. So let's pray. Say, Lord Jesus, thank You for loving me while I was still a sinner. You died for me to give me life. I do believe that You're God's Son that came to this earth, was tempted in every way, but without sin, making Your blood sinless and worthy to redeem me of my sins. I believe you died on Calvary's cross, but you didn't stay dead. You walked out of a grave Easter Sunday morning, conquering death, hell, and the grave, and that you're alive today. So I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me with your blood, to come into my life, be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Preacher got a little long-winded tonight. It's 8:07. I make no apologies because there's four new names written down in heaven. But I do love you. And please make every effort to come to this Bible study. It will benefit you immensely, okay? God bless you. Do as God lays on your heart to do. Amen.